Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with the changing of the showbread on Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us all safe throughout this week and for blessing us with opportunities to share our faith. Thank you also for the trials that come our way as well as the hugs. And thank you for blessing everyone that's in attendance today and all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that were mentioned last night in the text chat in regards to prayer requests. And thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness so that we can be worthy receptacles of the latter rain. And thank you so much for our salvation and for letting us be alive in these last days to see all that's happening. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. And it was good to see Sister Vera's children for the first time, entering in with the children's story. But I noticed one of them was having a computer problem or bandwidth. It could be that you're both using the same bandwidth. You probably have enough. It just might be one of the laptops are older or something. Or, best way to get around that is to unplug the router, count to 10. Plug it back in, try it again. it was good to see you. And I want to welcome the new people. I think we had some new on the bottom there. James 2 and Michael. And there was, Peter. He came back in, because we're handing out some texting abilities today. and Brandon B. So, all right. If you're new, welcome. Sabbath blessings to everybody. But if you're new, scroll underneath the text chat or click to any of the links above the text chat that gets you to the study notes, Sabbath study. But the easiest way is to just scroll down. And we're on question number 7. And the question is, God tells me that I am to turn away from doing what on his holy day? Okay, and thank you, Brother Garn. And Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words." Okay, let's look at this passage, shall we? All too often, we see Christians, and especially young ones, not realizing they're breaking the Sabbath. Take, for example, the statement, doing thine own pleasure on Sabbath. Do you watch TV on Sabbath? Well, truth is, TV should be avoided all 7 days of the week, as it has nothing worth watching on now. And that's one of the things that always irked me about, like Dish or... I don't know any other. I think Dish was the only one we had out here. They don't let you pick and choose the channels you want to watch. Because you could avoid a lot of the garbage if they would just turn on certain channels, but they don't do that. They give you packages with certain channels in them, which allows for all sorts of strange temptations to come into the house. And what I noticed years ago, we had it years ago, living out on a farm. You had no choice. I don't even think it was at we had the basic package so that we can, the news and stuff like that. But it got annoying, because of the commercials. It's bad enough with all the other garbage that you don't want to watch on there and you're paying for. Even the commercials are crazy. And so we asked them to turn it off. And they refused. I kid you not. They said, I had the guy on the phone 15, 20 minutes, and he wouldn't turn it off. I says, well, no, I'm paying it. Leave it on. And he goes, yeah, we'll leave it on for a year, and then if you change your mind at the end of the year, we'll just, all right, whatever. And a year later, they start sending me bills. I says, no, I told you to turn it off a year ago. I says, I didn't say keep it. Get rid of it. Turn it off. I'm not kidding. And don't offer me another year either. it really shocks them, too, when, and this happened to us twice. It just happened the other day, the last time we were in Menards, my wife and I. This time we were actually approached together. One time, this one guy, one time, walked up to me, and I guess later or earlier, he walked up to my wife. And he was shocked when he come. The thing I didn't like, right off the bat, he comes walking up acting like he's your best friend in the world. Like you haven't seen him in years. And says, I don't know you from Adam. And so I knew right off the bat it was a sales pitch, right? And he goes, what TV carrier do you have? And I says, none. We don't watch TV. And he was kind of stepped back from it. And he goes, you're kidding. He says, no. You know, I'm a preacher. I know all about what's going on that TV. And I teach prophecy. And we don't want anything to do with it. And he goes, really? And then I think he said, I don't know if he said it or if it was just in my mind. He says, you know, that the fact that there's actually two people in Menards. Because I know he said something to the effect that he never ran into anybody that didn't watch TV. He says, well, today's your blessed day, I guess, you know. But it happened again last week. I think it was last week. My wife and I were. But this guy didn't have much of a shock. He just, you know, we looked at him, told him we don't watch TV at all. He says, all right, turn around and walk away. So, but another thing in regards to things that you shouldn't be doing on Sabbath, do you listen to secular music? And yes, that too's not good on any day of the week as it glorifies the flesh and quite often in a very vulgar manner. Do you play video games, sports, or, you know, play sports or partake in any kind of pastime or even a hobby on Sabbath day or play solitaire cards or something like that? That too shouldn't be done. That's putting thy foot, that's trampling underfoot the Sabbath. Or how about going to a county fair or a restaurant or going swimming on Sabbath day? Is that not doing thine own pleasure? Now, yes, you can see walking in the woods as pleasurable, talking with a friend about Jesus as fun, or even watching preacher videos on Sabbath, but those are things that can bring you closer to God. Hobbies and other activities, even if they're wholesome, can be done on any other day of the week. But on the Sabbath, double-check the activity to make sure it's something your Father would be okay with. And if you're not sure, ask somebody in the church, especially if you're young in the faith. You know, just ask somebody in the church if they see anything wrong with it. I mean, after all, a church family is not just for gathering for worship. We're here for each other for a multitude of reasons. I mean, iron sharpeneth iron, right? We're supposed to be here for each other. This is why we're called a church family. A lot of people forget that, you know. So, and the next thing in the passage do you call the Sabbath a delight? Or have you come to a place wherein you dread its arrival? If so, you need to get into the Word more, because that is a confirmed sign from on high that you're drifting off the path and your faith is faltering to the point where, Sabbath is becoming a chore. Some look at the Sabbath day as the one day of the week they can't play or do fun things, and that is most assuredly not good. Kind of reminds me the way I felt about Christianity, if you will, or most people feel about Christianity when approached, whether it's by the Lord himself or by someone he sent. You think, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that when I become a Christian. They don't seem to realize that you won't want to do that, and you won't want to do this, and you won't want to do that when you become a Christian. But that's not what the devil wants them to think. So for years, it was like that with me. It was constantly, I can't do this and I can't do that when I become a Christian. But then when I became a Christian, I realized that I can do this and I can do that I couldn't do before I was a Christian. You know, I can get on my knees and ask the Lord to help me, and he actually shows his hand and things actually happen. I can have perfect peace in the scariest times in life. You know, those are the kind of things I couldn't even fathom doing before I met Jesus. And, but the Sabbath is the same way. A lot of people look at it for the wrong reasons. It's like, I can't do this or I can't do that on Sabbath. Yeah, but you can do other things on Sabbath that you can't do on other days of the week. So, please, no PMs during sermons or studies, please. Thank you. And, but the thing is, you know, the... the Sabbath is all about being with the Lord. And yeah, you could be with the Lord on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, whatever, any day of the week. But can you join in a, and you can't even describe it, but can you join in a worship service that cannot be described with human language or even contemplated with human imagination? Can you join in that with the angels in heaven, as well as Enoch, Elijah, Moses, our Lord, his Father, the Holy Spirit, the 24 elders, and all the angels? No. You can't do that on Sunday. You can't do that on Monday. You can't do that on you can't do that on any day of the week except Sabbath. It's another reason the devil invented a new Sabbath. He doesn't want the people to be in fellowship with all that's going on in the kingdom he used to reside in. He knows the power behind worship. He knows the power about being one with the Father. He knows the power of obedience, because he's all about disobedience. So if you need things to do on the Sabbath that will help you to see it as a delight, ask your brothers and sisters what they do on Sabbath. Perhaps they would have some ideas that you never thought of. We went over some last week. I'm not going to repeat them. There's a page on the website about how to keep Sabbath holy. It's in the Bible Truth second section, and then just click the Sabbath link, and it drops down, and look in there. It's one of those pages all about keeping Sabbath holy. There's a list of things that you can do. And again, we covered that last week. So the reminder of the passage more or less reiterates or recaps that which was already said, except, of course, when you get to where Isaiah is asked by the Lord to pen the words regarding speaking thine own words. So what does that mean? Well, the quickest way I know how to explain this is what the Lord revealed to me many years ago when I used to call my dad many times a week, or an old friend who recently became a Christian. Sunday keeper still, of course, but, you know, he recently became a Christian, and... But I called them one time, like my dad one time I called them on Sabbath, and one time I called that friend on Sabbath many years ago, and had a major amount of guilt afterwards because I couldn't get off the phone quick enough. I just couldn't, you know, it's kind of like some people don't even breathe when they talk, you know what I mean, and you can't get in there. So I went into prayer and I asked the Father to reveal unto me where I messed up. Then this passage in Isaiah came to mind in a very bold manner, especially where it says, speaking thine own words on Sabbath. I then knew it was not good to call people that were not of my faith on Sabbath unless the conversation could be kept on God's word or their need to keep his law. When I talked with my dad, he would bring up topics dealing with computer issues he needed help on, or other things like politics that angered him, or some things the cat did, or a funny video he saw. It literally ran the gamut when we talked sometimes, which was enjoyable. It was fun to talk to him. He's a sparkling conversationalist, if you would. You know, well, I mean, he has the gift of gab too, you know. And so the conversation would be totally about things that had nothing to do with the remembering of what the Lord did for us, all of us, 6,000 years ago, or even 2,000 years ago. And when I spoke with my friend Tony, who had recently become a Christian, who I used to hang with when I was a kid, I met him, I think I was 13, 12, 13, I think I was, yeah, right before we started going to the same high school. He would often bring up some fun times we had fishing, or walking in the creeks on our long journeys, we would call them, or something another friend who was in dire straits is doing that angers him. Can you see where I'm going with that? So, now... Being a guy, I don't get into gossip, and I'm sure why some women do like to do it, but that too should not be done any day of the week, and especially on Sabbath, you know, because there's a tendency to break, okay, commandment number what? It has to do with bearing false witness. Come on, young ones. You guys just had a little study on that. There you go. Amen and amen. So talking about what your neighbors did the other day, or what the lady at the checkout counter said, or what some teenager did, or what some old guy was wearing in Walmart, I mean, how does that have anything to do with the Sabbath? So let's read that passage in Isaiah again. But this time, let's read the verse trailing it as well. Verse 14. So Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14 says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." And when he hath spoken something, it's etched in stone. I mean, it's a promise that the original definition of the word promise. It's not like the way mankind will promise something and then all of a sudden renege on it. I mean, that's not our Father. He's not kidding. And this is one of the most amazing things, too, that I found. I mean, when I left the Catholic Church 30-some years ago, you know, my wife and I, yeah, we started seeing some blessings and stuff like this. And like, you know, but it was kind of, it was still kind of a mediocre lifestyle. It wasn't, not a lot of movements of his hand. I mean, right off, yeah, there was a lot of evidences of his love upon us, but there were still some issues in life that just weren't clicking. I mean, it just wasn't there. Still having a, you know, a rough go, and still a lot of weeds in the garden, if you will. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden we found out about the law. And man, did things turn around then. And then our little home church that we used to do, very humble, you know, just with the, you know, me and the wife and the kids, and right off the bat, that's 10 people. And, you know, the occasional neighbor or a friend of the kid would come over or something like that. But boy, when we started keeping Sabbath, and our home church thing didn't really grow in the neighborhood, of course, because not a lot of people wanted to keep Sabbath. The people that did frequent and join with us once in a while stopped dead in their tracks when we started keeping the seventh day. But then we started doing it online. And now look, the Lord's got an awful lot of families that gather with us, you know, and we are all one family. And we have some that are here that actually participate in ways that we get blessed too, you know. Other people preach and teach and whatever, and all sorts of amazing things, and then studies throughout the week, and it's just, it really is amazing to see when you obey. He really does, you know, place you, let you ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob. And it's just really, really nice to see his hand move. So, okay, let's see if we can get to the next one here. Number 8. The Sabbath is called what three things? And again, Isaiah 58:13. If thou turn away thy Sabbath, or the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And so, what are the three things? Well, number 1, my holy day. Number 2, a delight. And number 3, honorable. Amazing, isn't it? Everywhere, in the Protestant as well as Catholic churches, let's see, how do you say this? They claim to know the God that, you know, we worship. And they know that he's everlasting and eternal. None of them deny that. They also know, he says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not," right? Therefore, being eternal, anything he claims to be his would also be eternal. Would it not? Well, since they know he's eternal, and all he claims as his must also be eternal, and he also says he doesn't change because he's eternal, that right there lets the cat out of the bag on that theology, then how can they say that his holy day, a day that he declares a delight and honorable, was ever changed to a mere work day. I mean, this day is so blessed that he rested on this day. Well, he does so every day, you know, every 7 days for the last 6,000 years that we know of. Who knows how long ago those other planets were created? We don't know. Okay, granted, this could have been the first planet he created. It could have been the trillionth planet he created. We don't know. We'll find out when we get home. It's not a salvation issue. It's one of those need-to-know basis things. But the fact is, he rested also on this day 2,000 years ago, like he always did. And he rested as his only begotten Son also rested. And then even rested in the tomb on the seventh day. So much so that even the women that were going to come to anoint his body stopped dead in their tracks, realizing Sabbath is about ready to break. It's like what Brother Sean was relating to last night in the our little mini testimony service that we do every Friday evening, which is Sabbath Eve, of course. Going to a funeral, I mean, it's overwhelmingly evident in Scripture. You don't go to funerals on Sabbath day. You just don't do it. It's all about the deceased, right? Well, unless you're actually going to the funeral of Jesus Christ. But see, even here, they didn't realize what was going on. Even his Father allowed him to rest. It's about creation. It's not about death or destruction. And it certainly isn't about the person in the casket. Same thing with the weddings. You don't go to a wedding. And you most assuredly don't go to a reception, especially if they're not of our faith, because receptions, it's all about the booze. Well, for you young folks, alcohol. But, so, even the Father rested, and it wasn't until the break of dawn on the first day of the week that we now call Sunday that the resting was over for that week, and Jesus got up. You know, to all that receive the truth and understand his holy day or the Sabbath as a sign of Christ's creative and redeeming power, it truly becomes a delight to them, as well as honorable. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just like the tithe, if you think about it. The Lord gives you 7 days a week to do what you want. He's only asking you to give him one back. He's testing you, see how you're going to do that. Are you really going to give me one back? I mean, I commanded it. You should. Commandment number 4. I even tell you to remember. I even tell you prophetically that you're going to be taught to forget it. And the tithe, what's the difference there? I mean, you know, let's say you make $100 for the week. He gave you $100. He's the one that sets up kings and paupers, right? So whatever your paycheck is, it's because he planned it that way. Let's say your paycheck is $100 for the week. It's actually only $90. He gave you an extra $10 just to see what you do with it. If your check was $1,000 that week, it's actually only $900. He gave you an extra $100 just to see what you do with it. Because you were commanded to tithe it. It's not yours, it's his. And if you keep it, what does the Bible say? You rob God. It literally says that in Scripture. You will rob God. So, you can rob him of the Sabbath too. Seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in this Sabbath day, we can delight ourselves in him. As is obvious for all of us here, the Sabbath points us to creation week and reminds us of his mighty power in redemption. It also reminds us of how rock solid his prophecy is. I mean, the fourth commandment's the only one that I can see that has a prophetic statement in it, and it's a one-word prophecy. The word remember, because he knew we would be taught to forget it. We know what went down in Daniel chapter 7, and we know what the Vatican did. There's not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation that says the Sabbath was changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week. Not one single verse. They even admit that in writing. Yeah, there's some preachers that go out there and they'll take 7 or 8, and I think it's up to 9 verses now out of context to make it look like Sunday's holy. But when you put them all back in context, you catch them as bold-faced liars. Wolves. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And they all admit it, too, when you put it back in context. To save face, they go, oh, wow, I never noticed that. Or they'll just walk away. But they certainly don't like it when you start sharing that fact with the people in their pews. And that's one of the reasons the mark of the beast is going to be put forth, is to try to shut us up, because those people are going to be leaving their pews when that loud cry goes forth, that latter rain starts pouring. They're going to start emptying those churches. And that's why they're going to enforce the mark, is to try to get the people back into the churches, to try to shut us up. You know, what I find amazing is that being in this sin-sick world, the Sabbath also reminds us each week of the loss of Eden, while at the same time proclaims the peace of Eden is now and will be more so later on, restored through the Lord Jesus himself, as he promised. Everything that was lost is going to be restored. So this honorable day is indeed a delight to all those seeking the peace Jesus promised when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He said that, of course, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Right, and so, I'm not going to go into the next verse, or rather the next question, so we're going to quit a little early here. And the reason being is because question number 9 is just a quick answer, but it goes right into question number 10, which is going to be a little involved, and it's definitely going to put us over time. So I hope and pray you were blessed, and I'll be back in a minute.